Welcome in, welcome in. You are listening to WMUC FM Radio, straight out of College Park. I am your host, Jack Wynn. You are listening to Winning Time, your favorite sports talk show in the DMV. We got a lot to talk about. It has been an incredible week of sports. Playoff hockey is officially in full swing. We've had some great games this week. Playoff basketball has been incredible. I mean, the NBA playoffs have not disappointed, and it has been beautiful to see. I mean, it seems like every series has had great games, and we're going to talk about all of them. I do want to say we got some in-house music tonight. There is a band playing in the music studio, so we'll have some accompanying background music throughout the show. I hope you enjoy. They've got a unique style. We'll see how they roll. But without further ado, let's just get right into it. We do have some further ado. We have to play a quick PSA for you. We'll be right back after a very quick break, and we'll see you after this.
Are you looking for a club that celebrates friendship? Then Best Buddies might be the one for you. We organize social events for local folks with disabilities to come to campus and hang out. Some of our highlights of the past years have been our holiday parties, a polar bear plunge in the freezing Chesapeake Bay, our friendship walk with Best Buddies branches from around the state, and a winter formal with over 80 people. And if you want to learn more information, check out our Instagram at BestBuddiesUMD.
I love Best Buddies. It's a great club, great organization. I was working with them in high school, middle school. Just gives kids great opportunities. Highly recommend getting involved or supporting if you are able to. But now, without further ado, we're going to hop right in. As I mentioned, we have a lot to talk about, and we are starting with what has been one of the most incredible playoff series that I've seen, maybe ever. It's the Knicks and the Celtics. Never before have we seen a team, you know, there are two ways to look at it. We've never seen a team blow a 20-point lead in back-to-back home playoff games, and we've never seen a team come back from down 20 in back-to-back home playoff games. So the Knicks making history. It was two incredible games back-to-back. And to be honest, watching them, it kind of felt like I was just watching the same game twice. Because in both games, the Celtics built up these huge leads, bombing threes, making a lot of them, things going exactly as according to plan. And then all of a sudden, they go cold. And the shots stop falling, and the Celtics are unable to adjust. And all of a sudden, the Knicks just start walking them down, making basket after basket. Brunson turning up, Bridges turning up in the fourth quarter, Karl-Anthony Towns playing great defense, Josh Hart, OG Anunoby. The Knicks came to play in the fourth quarter, and the Celtics were unable to punch back. And it is a huge testament to the identity that the Knicks have built and established and that Coach Tom Thibodeau tries to enforce. That element of toughness and I'm going to out-hustle you, I'm going to outplay you, I'm going to outwork you, that is what this team is about, and that is coming into play, and it is rearing its head. It is rearing its head in the series, and it's why the Knicks are able to do what they did. And I want to shout out Mikal Bridges, because people were critical of him during the regular season. And I thought the criticism was unfair, because this offseason, when you trade so much for a player, you hope to get more out of him than 17 points per game, inconsistent play, spotty defense. That's not what you trade 4 first-round picks for. When you trade that much, you're expecting to get a star. And What I think people may not have realized is once you trade for Cat, you already have your two offensive stars. Mikal Bridges is here for these exact moments. The Knicks as a whole have been built to beat Boston. And we've seen this in sports before. The Bills across in football said, we're building a team to beat the Chiefs. The Lakers tried to build a team to beat the Nuggets. Like, if there is a team that dominates your conference, you build a team to beat them. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And that's exactly what the Knicks are trying. Because they have two lengthy wings, Bridges and Ananobi. Their entire team is switchable. Josh Hart can pick up anybody. Cat can guard. Brunson can be covered by the rest of the team. And it just works really well against a Boston team where their strengths now play into the Knicks' strengths. Boston trying to shoot threes and just play all-around basketball is now the Knicks' strength. So I said I wanted to highlight Bridges specifically, and you can't talk about these games without talking about the last possession of each of them. Because when I say they traded for Bridges for these exact moments, it's not just for this series as a whole. It's for these end-of-game situations. Because who's getting the ball for Boston when the game is close or it's a one-possession game? It's Jaylen Brown and it's Jason Tatum. So you have Bridges here now to guard those guys. And even when Tatum gets a matchup on Mitchell Robinson, you know, who is a great matchup for Tatum, you still have Bridges there to help. So it's just an incredible close by the Knicks in both games. And for them to come back and establish themselves, they can be feeling great heading back to MSG, and they have a real opportunity now to take a stranglehold in this series. Going up, even if you just win one at home, going up 3-1 is a big deal. Boston has not proven an ability to fight through adversity that much. Now, we do need to talk about Boston, because teams that go up 2-0 on the road, like the Knicks have, win the series over 85% of the time, which means Boston's in a bad spot. And for a team that has been so heavily favored all season, you have to acknowledge this as a collapse. And people are getting rightfully criticized online and in the media, but you have to understand just how significant this collapse is. Boston was able to win a title last year, and they did so by winning almost every game pretty comfortably. The Celtics blow teams out. It's what they do. In the regular season, they dominated the Knicks. They blew them out. It's what they do. But when the games are tight and the situations are the biggest, they sometimes struggle. And for Jason Tatum specifically, to play as poorly as he did, to get outplayed so thoroughly by Brunson, by Bridges in the fourth, to not seem like the best player on his own team once again in the fourth. These are bad moments for him, and it's what sets him back and what separates him from these really higher level guys. Like, he wants to be in talks for best player of the world. You can't do that if you score as few points as he did in overtime and in the fourth quarter. You have to be more involved in the offense. You have to be scoring at a higher rate for somebody who his claim was one of the most efficient players in the league. Well, he was pretty inefficient in these first two games. So the Celtics are going to need a big bounce back. I expect them to get one. I think that they're going to make a lot of threes in Game 3. They're going to keep shooting them. They have no reason not to. The problem is they need to be able to adjust at the end of games. There's no problem going into a game wanting to shoot because that's your identity. Tatum was talking to the media this week. He said, we're not just going to stop because the shots aren't falling. We know who we are as a team. We play to our strengths, which is a fine mindset to have. But when you go cold like that, it's going to cost you games. The Rockets had the same problem back in the late 2010s. They would shoot too many threes, they would get cold, and they wouldn't adjust, and the game would get away from them. And they're another team that couldn't get over the hump. Now, the Celtics did win the title last year, obviously. So there's not as much pressure on them to get it done. However, as the reigning champs, you can't go out like this. And if you look at the Vegas odds right now, and you listen to what the people are saying, Boston is still very much alive in the series. It seems like they're still even favorites, you know, or not even favorites. It's even both ways, like, online right now. And I don't know if that's fair. I think the Knicks should definitely be favored. I don't know how, especially because we haven't even really gotten a great game from Brunson yet. Like, he still has room to improve also. Josh Hart was talking about the team has room to grow. So I do think the Knicks are now going to win this series. And I wish I had the courage and my conviction to pick the Knicks before the series, because I said before the season that this exact thing was going to happen and that the Knicks were going to build a team to beat Boston and they were going to be the ones to take them out in the playoffs. And then the time came and I picked Boston in seven with an asterisk and I'm just regretting my pick. I do think the Knicks win the series. Granted, Boston is still in it. And honestly, I think whoever wins this series probably goes on to make the finals. Because if you look over on the other side of the bracket, Indiana, as well as they've been playing, I don't think that's a team that's going to make a finals run. The Cavs also, if they do make the finals, would have just come back, or if they do win the series, would have just come back through a battle against Indiana after going down 0-2 at home themselves. So there is a real path here for the Knicks to make the finals. I am absolutely here for it. I don't know. I'm excited. It's been a great series. Game 3 is today at 3:30. Like I said, I do think Boston wins this one, but I think the Knicks are going to not steal Game 4. I think they're going to win Game 4 and go up 3-1. So the East is a very competitive place, and I can't wait to see how this series plays out. We're going to take another quick break, listen to another quick PSA, and then we will be right back with you after this.
At Taz Plaza, there are an abundance of producer-only vendors and a cooking demonstration with free samples hosted every week at noon. You can find everything from fresh bread, locally grown produce, popcorn, to lip balm, and local animal products. The market runs every Wednesday, rain or shine, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. during the spring season from April to May and fall season from August to November. The Campus Pantry is a free resource available for all UMD students, faculty, and staff experiencing food insecurity. It is open 5 days a week from 10 to 5 and is located on the ground floor of the South Campus Dining Building next to the Common Shop. You must swipe your university ID before entering and check out before leaving. Make sure to bring your own reusable bag. For more information, you can visit the UMD Campus Pantry website at campuspantry.umd.edu. That's campuspantry.umd.edu.
All right, we are back. We just talked some Knicks Celtics. We got a lot more to go into, a lot more basketball, and we are jumping in now with Steph Curry's unfortunate injury. He exited game one with a grade one left hamstring strain, and it is going to cost him dearly. There are mixed reports about when he's going to be back. There are rumors that he could come back this series, rumors that he'll be back game six at the earliest. So obviously bad news for Golden State. And this was a series that I was really looking forward to. Not just for, you know, the games itself, but for the implications. And people wanted to see Anthony Edwards taking on Stephen Curry the way he had taken on LeBron and Luka, and he had taken on Jokic in the past, and he's taken on KD. People want to see Ant rise to the occasion against another all-time great once again. And now without Steph, it feels like the Warriors are just kind of dead in the water. Because the problem is, when you build a team around a superstar, it gives you your best chance to win a title. Because teams win titles when their superstars are at their best. And if you have a team that complements their strengths the most, that's how you get that. However, when that superstar then gets hurt, the team falls apart. Because if you lose your foundation, there's not much left. So the Warriors are now trying to scramble and play to their strengths, but there's just not much to go off of, especially when Jimmy Butler, who's supposed to be the second best player, isn't coming close. We've seen flashes of playoff Jimmy, but it's really starting to look like that guy is in the past. And it reminds me a bit, I think about when LeBron was hurt in the playoffs a couple years ago, I was saying, I know that LeBron is saving his energy and his health and his like maximum athletic ability for the biggest spots because he can't afford to go all out at his age and at his condition. Jimmy Butler is the same way. I'm sure he can still tap into the whole playoff Jimmy thing. We've seen him do it in the play-in. We've seen him do it a couple times versus Houston. But it's not something he can do consistently anymore. And without Steph there, the Warriors are relying on him to be that consistent star. And he's not going to be able to do it. I do expect to get at least one more great playoff Jimmy game this series. But it's hard for me to believe that anything's going to happen other than the Timberwolves dispatching of Golden State fairly quickly. And if Steph isn't there, it could happen in 5. I think it's likely to happen in 6. I would imagine the Wolves win game 3, go up 2-1. Maybe we get a playoff Jimmy game. Maybe not. I do think Wolves win in 6. And it's going to be exciting to see Ant in the conference finals. Because if you want to see him take on these legendary players, well, you're going to get to see him now take on either Jokic or Shea. And that means he's either getting the MVP or the consensus best player in the world. Like, it's going to be a great series no matter what. And we can switch over now to that Nuggets-Thunder series because that one has been remarkable as well. And just for the context of the series, it has been super exciting to see the two players who everyone thinks are the clear two front runners for MVP going head-to-head. And it's a little unfortunate. We're going to get the MVP announcement after this series, and it's either going to look really good for Shea or it's going to be really awkward, you know? Because if Jokic just upsets the Thunder now in round 2 and then Shea gets the MVP, that's going to be looked at really poorly. And all of a sudden, Shea's going to go into next season with a ton of pressure on himself. As for Jokic, if he loses a series and then loses MVP, and a guy like Shea or Ant go on to win the finals, all of a sudden his best player in the world status could be in question. It might not be to many, but it could be to some. So there's a lot at stake. And for these guys to go head-to-head, it means a lot, clearly. So for the Nuggets to go up 2-1 and to win close games the way that they have has been very impressive. And to do so without a head coach is impressive as well. Granted, the interim has done a great job. He's a very lively guy. And every time you see him in the media or talking on the court, he seems like he's having a great time. But this is a team that is running through Nikola Jokic. And we've seen now plenty of clips of him during timeouts and on the bench, holding the clipboard, talking to guys, directing traffic, explaining game situations, game planning. He has been more locked in, I think, this season than he has in the past. I think he has started to really love this sport and to really hate losing. And it's showing. And he's playing really well in the biggest spots. Granted, his stats haven't reflected it the last game or two. Game 1, he was awesome. But when you have a superstar who seems to be playing well, but the stats don't really reflect it, the scorebook, you can keep in mind just their presence on the court creates opportunities for the rest of the team. Even if Jokic only has 20, like he did in the last game, just him being on the court drawing double teams, drawing defensive focus, allows the other guys to play well. And it contributes to why the Nuggets are such a dangerous team. And now that they seem to be in good spirits, so to speak, with this new front office situation, they are absolutely dangerous and absolutely live to win the title. And when you have Jokic, who is the best player in the world, how are you not live to win the title? So the Nuggets have proven that they should not be taken lightly. And even though they're coming out of a rough series and they're playing, you know, every other night the rest of the way, they are in a great spot. And we'll see what comes of it. On the flip side, as I mentioned for Shea, winning MVP and losing the series would be a big deal and would be a problem, especially if he continues to play the way he has. Granted, he was great in Game 2, and the Thunder blew the Nuggets away, and they never even really had a chance. Shea hasn't been great, and he was scoreless, I think, in overtime, and his numbers have been terrible, and his efficiency has been way off. He's not playing up to par. He's not drawing fouls the way he normally does. He is just not playing like himself. And this is the biggest spot of his career. He's only been this far once, and it was last season, and he lost pretty quickly to Luka. So if Shea wants to earn and cement himself a spot in these top three, top five conversations, he needs to play like it, and he needs to perform. You've got other guys who rise in the playoffs, and Shea now, who was trying to build a legacy, needs to avoid building one as a player who shrinks in the playoffs. So he has a massive, massive game four on the road coming up in Denver. And if they lose that game, they are going to be in a really rough spot, and Shea is going to be criticized in a lot of places. So that's something to look out for. I do think in my gut that the Thunder are going to be able to come back to win, just because I think that they're such a well-rounded team. I think they have that fight in them. They're not just going to go out like this after the season they had. I think Shea has a great game on. This is Shea's moment. Shea needs to have a great game four and get OKC over the edge. I am very excited. This is what I mean. All four series now in the second round have been really good. And we'll see what happens tomorrow, man. We'll see what happens tomorrow. All right. We are going to take another break. We are going to play a couple PSAs, maybe play a song or two. We shall see. But we will be right back with you with more coverage of the NBA playoffs, of the NFL, and NHL, MLB, all the topics. The WNBA season starts next week. A lot to talk about. When we come back, we're ranking our top 10 players still left in the NBA playoffs. We will be with you right after this.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
Do you like the outdoors? Join the Maryland Adventure Program. This is a student-powered adventure that promotes personal growth and overall wellness. You can tackle a 50-foot wall through rock climbing or gather a group of friends to experience the challenge course. To get more information, log on to crs.umd.edu/Maryland Adventure Program.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars.
No handlebars.
Sign up for the weekly bike rides every Tuesday around College Park. Don't have a bike? Just rent it from the campus bike shop. Spending time outdoors has great benefits. It raises your vitamin D levels, it improves concentration and focus, helps you recover from injury and stress, and it may even mean more smiles throughout the day. To get more information, log on to crs.umd/Maryland Adventure Program. Hashtag stay active,
Tim. I can tell you about Lee Ferrickson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American.
Speech problems. Who's got them? If you're worried about that class presentation, come on down to the Oral Communication Center, or OCC for short. We offer support for students who need help with their communication and public speaking skills. We're based in the Skinner Building in room 2117 from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. But if you need a little help in the afternoon, we're in McKeldin Library room 2111 after 4 p.m. Go to umd.mywconline.net to schedule an appointment, but walk-ins are always welcome. See you there.
All right. We are back and we are live here. You are listening to Winning Time. I am your host, Jack Wynn. It's your favorite sports talk show out in the DMV, coming to you straight from WMUC in College Park. So, we have talked a lot of NBA so far. We are going to stick with it, and we are going to now rank, because again, we're halfway, we've cut half the teams now in the playoffs. A lot of stars eliminated. Giannis eliminated. LeBron, Luka eliminated. Cade eliminated. We're going to do our top 10 players left in the NBA playoffs. Number 10, Jamal Murray. You want to talk about a playoff riser? Jamal Murray is a playoff riser. He just passed Dame Lillard in playoff points. Isn't that interesting? Now, he is an incredible... Draymond Green once said, you have 82 game players and you have 16 game players. Jamal Murray is a 16 game player. And he embodies what this top 10 list is about. And I want to clarify. This is not just, you know, people are going to say overall, well, like, so-and-so should be higher because they had great regular seasons. I'm talking about right now. Who's the like, if they were playing, who's the best player in the series? Jamal Murray has proven time and time again that he can be a great playoff performer. And the Nuggets can depend on him to be that riser. Number 9, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's a great player. He sometimes seems to be the best player on the Celtics. And his two-way ability is what makes him special. He seems to be fairly consistent on the defensive end. And when he's at his best, he can play as well as almost anybody else that's not like one of your upper echelon guys. He can be one of the best second options in the league. And he has consistency issues at times. He has clutch issues at times. And I'm glad to put him high on the list, but he's not somebody who I feel like I trust as much in those big spots. However, you know, he's a star. You have to give him respect where it's due. Number 8, Donovan Mitchell. Again, another incredible playoff performer. He is one of the highest scoring playoff players ever. I don't know if that makes sense, but he scores... He's one of the best playoff scorers we've seen in the last decade, is how I'll phrase it. And for him now to anchor this Cavs team and try to get them out the rut, he is going to have to play the way we know he can. We've seen him have great series. We've seen him have incredible explosions in games. We saw him drop 70 in the regular season. He'll need to prove it now in the playoffs. The Cavs were the one seed. You can't turn around and lose after the season that they had. So it'll be interesting to see if he is able to get there. Speaking of that series, Tyrese Haliburton, number 7. I think he's a better player than Donovan Mitchell. We saw Tyrese get to the conference finals last year, play the Celtics tight, beat the Knicks. And for him now to go up 2-0 on the Cavs, hit the game winners that he has so far in these playoffs, He was voted most overrated by sources across the NBA a couple weeks ago. And he has proven everybody wrong. He is an underrated player. He was on Team USA this summer. He is great in big spots. And he took the Pacers to the conference finals last year. He's two wins away from doing it again. Don't sleep on Tyrese Halliburton, man. Indiana is dangerous. Number six. And people might get mad at me for this one. But it's Jason Tatum. Look. Tatum is a great player. They won the finals last year. And if this were just an overall list, including regular season, he would probably be higher than he is even now. But come playoff time, he's a different guy. And he has great playoff games. We've seen him have great moments. He's been in the playoffs his entire career. However, you can't trust him when the games are the biggest and when the spots are the most important. He got his chain snatched by Mikal Bridges at the end of game two. Like, he seemed lost out there. He wasn't able to create his own shot. His lack of playmaking brings him down. And it makes him a less trustable player. It's why he's not a top five guy remaining in these playoffs. And you'll see who I have above him, including somebody who he's matched up against. Because if you don't watch these Knicks-Celtics series, and you don't think Jalen Brunson is the best player in these series, then I think we're watching different games. Like, Jalen Brunson, although, again, the scorebook doesn't reflect it, he has showed up in the fourth quarter. He has been a leader. He has marched the Knicks back from down 20 twice. And he has outplayed Jason Tatum and the other Celtics in these series. I just think Brunson's ceiling is so high. And we haven't seen Brunson really show what we know he can be in this series yet, but we saw it against the Pistons. He's a clutch player. He shows up in the big spots. I'm waiting for him to go for 40. One of these games against the Celtics, I think he's due. Jalen Brunson is an unbelievable player. And in these playoffs, I just think the Knicks have the better player. I do. It's why I think the Knicks are going to win the series now. It's why they're up 2-0. Number four. And I realize I probably shouldn't have included him, but I was making this list before the news came out about how long he would be injured for. Stephen Curry, even at his age, even after the tough series he's had, Steph Curry is still one of the best players in the league. And there are very few players that you could fear more when you're going up against them than Stephen Curry. And here's what I mean by that. If you had to tell me that one player goes for 50, Steph's one of the first guys you guess, because he can just control a game like very few guys left. It's what makes him an all-time great. People were saying before his injury that the Warriors could go on a championship run. What would that mean for his legacy? Can he get into that top five all-time conversation? Some people already put him there. So we'll see what happens if he's able to come back early. He's a tough player. But if he doesn't play, it would be unfortunate, and the Warriors are just going to get dispatched pretty quickly. There are going to be a lot of conversations about what the Warriors are going to plan to do this offseason. Because I guess you try to run it back with Jimmy Butler, but he's not getting any younger. You're going to need other pieces. They need more size. They need youth. They need more defense. They need guys who are going to play consistently and can pick up the slack so that Steph doesn't have to be Superman every single time he's on the court. All right, number three, Anthony Edwards, the guy who's about to advance to his second conference finals. Ant is starting his career great. I think he's got an incredible high ceiling to be one of the best players we've ever seen. I think he's going to win scoring titles. And he has proven now that in the playoffs, he can be an incredible player. He averages 27 to 29 every single series of his playoff career. He is so consistent. And for him now to just continue to go on these deep playoff runs, it means that he is established in this league. You can't talk about the playoffs without talking about Ant being a main contender. And he's not afraid of the moment at all. You can tell with his confidence. You can tell he likes going up against the best players. And I'm excited to see him close out the series versus a Stephless Warriors team and then battle with either Jokic or Shea in the next round. Speaking of, the number two best player left in these playoffs is Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. And he has been playing like it recently, and he's going to need to if the Thunder are going to stay alive. But he has absolutely earned the right to be the second best player here on this list. He won 65-plus games, averaged 33 points pretty much. He is just an incredible player. Not to mention, he could be all-defensive team justifiably. He is an incredible defender and a two-way player. Not to mention a great leader and clutch player up until this series against Denver. And he's going to need to be great. And Game 4 now is a legacy moment for him. If he comes up short in this game, on the road, down 2-1, he's going to be looked at by the media and by fans as a playoff choker. This is his chance. He needs to drop 30-plus. Like, I need to see 34, 6, and 5 from Shea in a close win. Like, he needs to have one of those games, one of those moments. Go for 40, Shea. Like, why not? Because you know who's coming to play? The number one player on this list, Nikola Jokic. And he has been more locked in than we have seen him ever, including his title run. He is yelling at guys. He is drawing up plays. He is understanding and explaining concepts. Russell Westbrook and him have a great thing going. They have a great dichotomy there, and with their energies and just what they bring to the team. And Jokic is one of the smartest players we've ever seen. He's one of the most talented players we've ever seen. And this is the exact situation Jokic is going to show up in and play great. He has earned the right that we can expect that of him. I think he's going to have a triple-double, maybe 30 points. And so this game is going to tell us a lot. Is this going to be an epic series, or is Jokic just going to really establish himself as head and shoulders above the rest of the league? We'll find out. But that's my top 10 list. We're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we've got a segment that I like to call high-speed headlines. We've got a lot to talk about. A lot of news across sports that we still need to address. We've got about 20 minutes left of our show. We will be right back with you after this.
Did you know that the University of Maryland is one of the 50 fittest colleges in America? Our state-of-the-art Epley Recreation Center, School of Public Health, Ritchie Coliseum, and Cole Fieldhouse have a number of resources that help keep Terps happy, active, and healthy. Join the daily group fitness workouts, request a personal trainer, or own your independence and build your own training plan. Exercise can improve muscle strength and boost your endurance and confidence. Feel better and live longer.
Are those early morning classes starting to feel like a marathon? Did Dodge strike again, towing your car when you least expected it? We get it, and we're here to listen. Whether it's academic stress, relationship issues, or just a bout of loneliness, Lean on Me College Park is here for you. Our supporters are fellow students trained in mental health support to help you through life's ups and downs. You can text our free and anonymous line anytime from 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. 7 days a week at 301-494-8808. You can also follow us at leanonme_CP for updates and resources. Again, our number is 301-494-8808. We hope you'll let us be a shoulder for you to lean on.
Are you a victim of the campus cough or other common symptoms of a cold or sore throat? The accredited University Health Center, located right across from the Stamp Union, can be of assistance. Make an online appointment at www.myuhc.umd.edu. You can receive primary care, reproductive health care, mental health care, dental health, immunization, and much more. What are you waiting for? Schedule your next appointment now.
are psychiatric disorders are one of the leading causes of disability in young people around the world, and TERPs are no exception. One out of three TERPs will feel depressed at one point during the semester. You are not alone if you are feeling down. Here at Maryland, you can talk it out with fellow students who are going through the same problems in group therapy sessions, or even have a one-on-one therapy session with one of our many experienced therapists. The Campus Mental Health Center is open from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday. If you or someone you know needs help, come visit the Health Center and be a healthier TERP.
All right. We are back, and we are live. You're listening to your favorite sports talk show in the College Park DMV area. This is Winning Time. I'm your host, Jack Wynn. So, we have got a lot to address. We've been very NBA-focused so far, and we're going to spread it out a little bit with a segment that I like to call High Speed Headlines. A little bit of NBA news is going to be sprinkled in. However, we are going to... Here's the thing. Sorry. High Speed Headlines is one of my favorite segments. It allows us to cover a lot of different topics at once. We are going to set a 10-minute timer. I have got 10 different topics that I need to go through. I am going to read the headline, and I am going to react and talk about it hopefully as quickly as I can. Sometimes I stagger on, not stagger, I stay too much on one topic. Anyway, we are going to jump right in. 10-minute timer starting now. One of the biggest news headlines of the week. The Dallas Cowboys acquired George Pickens from the Pittsburgh Steelers for a third-round pick. For the Cowboys, I think this is an interesting trade. And I think it's absolutely the type of trade that the Cowboys love to make. You go get the flashy receiver, you go get the skill player, you give up a future asset, and they expect this to make a big change. I don't think this does much for Dallas. George Pickens is a great player. He's got a ton of talent, but he's going to add more distractions to a locker room that is already filled with them. There are going to be more headlines, and the Cowboys have to remind themselves, what's the goal? Is the goal to be relevant? Is the goal to have a good season, or is the goal to win a Super Bowl? And I don't think George Pickens gets the Cowboys any closer to winning a Super Bowl as good of a player as he is. For the Steelers, they've always been good at timing which receivers to give up. Mike Tomlin has never been great on the offensive end, but he's always been good at handling and managing talent. However, the Steelers are now so lost in the water, it seems, that I don't even know what to expect from their offense. It seems like it's DK Metcalf and nobody else out there. Like, Calvin Austin, I think, is a cool slot receiver. We'll see what he can do. Maybe a fantasy sleeper, like, for people who play. But they still don't really have a viable quarterback. Their running game comes from absolutely inexperienced players, and the O-line is still a problem. So the Steelers are once again going to be trying to ride their defense to another great season. We'll see if they're able to do so. Next, Abdul Carter finally ends his number dilemma and settles on 51. This isn't as much of a story as the numbers he was trying to get are. He wanted 11 from Phil Simms, who offered it on Twitter, by the way, and then his family said no. And he wanted it from Lawrence Taylor. I love the confidence, Abdul Carter. I think you are striving to be a Hall of Famer and one of the legends, and I think that's exactly what he should be doing. But you can make your own number great. Let's try to make 51 now a legendary number in and of itself. We've seen Jackson Dart rocking number 6. To be honest, I don't really love either of those numbers for them, too. We'll see if they change it up after the preseason, but either way, go make your own number legendary, right? Next, Jim Harbaugh says he woke up in the middle of the night and realized, I have to get Justin Herbert to the Hall of Fame. That is a bold statement and a big claim. There is a lot still to do to get Justin Herbert to the Hall of Fame. And look, he has a lot of talent. People believe in him because he can make incredible throws and he's remarkably skilled. However, he has not proven anything when it comes to building a Hall of Fame resume. He has no playoff wins. He has only made the playoffs twice. He's only had two winning seasons. Like, he is not a consistent player. He has not proven that he can be a Hall of Famer. And there are other guys in the league who are way far ahead of him on the path to the Hall of Fame. So he not just has to build his own resume, he has to catch up to guys like Burrow and Lamar and Josh and Stafford and Hurts and all the guys in the league today who have bigger resumes. Jaden Daniels already has a bigger resume than Herbert does. So I believe in Justin Herbert. I think he's a great player. There's a long way to go. Jim Harbaugh is going to have to build out a much better team and win a couple rings like he said he was going to do before we can start having Hall of Fame conversations. Next, the Browns training camp begins. We are seeing clips of Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel at camp. They both look good. They both look fine, as good as you can in drills. But it's going to be an interesting storyline to follow all offseason because their training camp is going to be one of the closest watched in the league. People are going to want to know who's going to be the starting quarterback. I think Shedeur has the talent to be the starter. But I think Dylan Gabriel is the coach's favorite. I think Stefanski wants to go with Gabriel. So we'll see how it plays out. What I do know is it's not Deshaun Watson, and he's still sitting in that locker room making all the money. So the Browns are screwed no matter what. Next, Sovereignty wins the Kentucky Derby, won't run in Peakness 2025. I'm happy for Sovereignty, the horse. Congratulations. I don't like horse racing. I just wanted to give this. Journalism was favored to win, and as a journalist, I got to respect that. I don't love horse racing, to be honest. I don't love how they treat the animals. Makes me kind of sad. I know people love it. They love getting into it. They love betting on it. It's not my thing. I feel like, why not? Let's celebrate real racing. You know, like, let's get track to be, you know, a big thing that we pay attention to. You know, that's my take. Next, Shohei Ohtani, yet another clutch homer in the ninth to win it for the Dodgers. He is proving why he is seen as one of not just the best players today, but why he's building a resume to be one of the best players of all time. And he, just as a hitter, is incredible. You can look at the stats. He's remarkable. But it's also the way he plays in these spots. I have talked about him multiple times on this show about him coming up big in the clutch, hitting walk-offs. It's hard to get on this show if you're a baseball player, but Shohei Ohtani manages to do it because he is so great. He is a legend who rises to the occasion, and he needs to be celebrated. The Dodgers are in a great spot. They're the favorites to win the World Series once again, and he's an unbelievable player, continuing to show why he's probably the best player in the league. Next, Pirates fire Derek Shelton, their manager. And that's interesting to do during the season. You're going to have a new interim coach coming over, have new leadership, try to right the ship. But I don't think it's going to work out. The Pirates have struggled all season. And just because you fire the manager doesn't change the fact that there's a distinct lack of high-level talent. And they need improved pitching as well. There are a lot of holes in that roster. I don't think that changing the coach is going to save them. Next, Oilers-Panthers both win in overtime, take strangleholds in their series, or stay alive at least for the Panthers. Look, playoff hockey is unbelievable. The intensity is high. The quality of play seems to just be so much better. And for the NHL to just consistently produce great playoff games is really exciting. And it's why hockey is such a great sport. It's physical. It's intense. Connor McDavid, being able to play in these high leverage situations and play well, even if he wasn't scoring, it's what makes hockey so great. And it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of these playoffs go. The Capitals trying to go on a big run. All my friends, big Caps fans, you know, it's a big deal every time they play. We'll see if Ovi is able to come up with another ring. But the NHL is so exciting in the playoffs. We'll see how these continue to play out. Lastly, Derek Carr retires. This is a big deal. The New Orleans Saints have been... Let me talk about the Saints in a second. Derek Carr is one of the better players and one of the better quarterbacks we've seen over the last decade. For a long time, my metric for are you a good quarterback or not is are you as good or better than Derek Carr? Because he was so average. He was so consistent. Back when he was on the Raiders, he was very solid. I thought he was one of the more underrated quarterbacks in the league. He was leading the Raiders to winning seasons when he didn't have much around him at all. And so now for him to unfortunately have to medically retire, it seems, is kind of sad. And he should be proud of the career he had. Even though it went really poorly in New Orleans, he had a couple of very average seasons. And the Saints now are in a disastrous spot because it seems like New Orleans is going to be forced, finally, to take their medicine and to tank this year. The Saints, at the end of Drew Brees' career, tried to move contracts around, traded for star players, gave guys big extensions, with the hopes of sneaking in one more playoff run with Drew Brees, which makes sense. That's why you go all in, and it's worth it. However, for them to continue to do so and mess up their future and their cap space with Derek Carr as their quarterback and Dennis Allen as their coach instead of Sean Payton, it's just a bad recipe. And it's why they've been so poorly run. And it's why now that Derek Carr is walking out of that building, the Saints are going to be lost in the water. Is Tyler Shough going to be the quarterback for New Orleans this year, the kid they just drafted? I don't know, man. They are not in a great spot. They don't have a lot of great skill players. They have talent on defense, but not a great defensive unit overall. The Saints are going to finally have to rebuild, and it's going to be a minute. It's going to be a couple years, unless they get lucky in the draft, before they're able to really establish themselves as contenders again. All right. Not bad. That was exactly 10 minutes. We got through all 10 topics. And way to go. High-speed headlines. We covered a lot. So we've got about 5 minutes left in our show. We're going to do our predictions now for the rest of the NBA games today, or these series. And then we're going to do a quick analysis of the WNBA upcoming season. So, starting off at 3:30 today, Celtics versus Knicks. I've already said, I do think the Knicks win this series. However, I think the Celtics steal game three. I think it's going to be bombs away from three. Tatum probably has a good game. Brown probably has a good game. You'll probably see a good game from Derek White or Sam Hauser, one of the, you know, the role players. But then I think game four in the Garden is going to be, that's the one to look for. I think the Knicks win game four in the Garden. Jalen Brunson has his best game of the series, and the Knicks go up 3-1 and eventually close it out. Warriors, Timberwolves later tonight, 6:30, or games at 8:30, excuse me, in Golden State. I think the Timberwolves win this one as well. I mean, no Steph, the Warriors just don't have much that they can do, to be honest. I feel like playoff Jimmy isn't going to be able to get another win here. It's only tied 1-1. I think if the Warriors go down 2-1, we'll see a great Jimmy Butler game in game four to stop them from going down 3-1 just because they're going to need it or the series is going to be over. Game four, Thunder Nuggets tomorrow night. I've honestly been battling with my prediction for this one. I am going to pick the Thunder, and I think Shea is going to be great. And I've said all show, he's going to have to be great because his legacy is on the line right now. The resume is trying to build. Jokic is going to show up. The Nuggets are going to show up. If the Thunder win, it's going to be a close game. It is in Denver at 3:30, game four. Shea needs to be there, and he needs to be great. Otherwise, the season's probably over. And then Cavs, Pacers tomorrow night as well. I'm going to take the Cavs. I do think that they complete the comeback, so to speak, and tie the series two apiece. I think Donovan Mitchell has a great game. But then it's going to be interesting. I think Halliburton has another great performance in him. I think this series goes seven, and it'll be very interesting to see who I pick if it does. Right now, I might lean Pacers, but I probably lean Cavs. I don't know. Teams, I already said the stat earlier, teams that go up 2-0 on the road like the Pacers did win over 85% of the time. So we'll see how it plays out. All right. With our last 2 minutes, I want to talk about the upcoming WNBA season. Everyone's excited for the Fever. They play on opening night. Caitlin Clark she's my prediction to win MVP. She's going to have an incredible season. She's going to average probably 22 points, 10, 11 assists. She's going to be incredible. She's going to continue to be a remarkable player. And we saw her elevate her game. Because when she was drafted, she had a month and then she started playing. We saw her then elevate her game when she had a month off for the Olympics to train and practice and rest and get better. She has now had a real off season to train, rest, get better, work with the coach. We're going to see Caitlin Clark playing at a level we haven't seen before. She's going to be incredible. Paige Becker is going to make her debut as well. Expect her to have a similar start to Caitlin. It might be rough at first with some awesome flashes, but by the end of the season, Paige will be a top 10 player herself. I think the Aces are coming in as the clear favorites. The Liberty are going to be right there with them. That's going to be my prediction to win the WNBA Finals probably the next couple seasons, just because you got Aja Wilson, Sabrina Ionescu, such great players. I'm excited to see how it plays out. We've got an incredible season coming up, incredible playoff games, NHL, NBA, MLB, WNBA, NFL news, all of it. We are going to continue to cover it. We'll be with you. I'm not sure if I'll be here for my show next week. If not, it's been an incredible semester, and I look forward to returning in the fall. But otherwise, already looking forward to next episode. I can't wait. Signing off.